So what is going on behind closed doors that could bring on these attacks? But anyway, I got an answer from the Lord. And it isn't because we're doing something wrong or sinning, or we have a lack of faith that brought us into this negative places in our lives. The Lord said to me, it's persecution. And that is the name of my message today. Persecution. So when I think of persecution, I think of Christians being martyred or killed and their heads cut off, burned at the stake. But the devil is a silent killer. But the Lord said to me, read Matthew 24:7-9. So if you got your Bibles with you, let's look at that. And Jesus is talking about the last days. Matthew 24:7-9. It says, nations will go to war against each other and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion. I'm reading out of the Passion, if you don't have that translation. Horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. This is how the first contractions and the birth pains of the new age will begin. You can expect to be persecuted, even killed, for you will be hated by all the nations because of your love for me. Then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. God didn't redeem us from persecution. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Poverty, sickness, and death, Galatians 3:13. Now let's turn and look in John 15:17-21. John 15:17-21. John 15:17-21. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. This is Jesus speaking. Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they first hated me. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. So remember what I taught you, that a servant isn't superior to his master. And since they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they obey my teachings, they will also obey yours. They will treat you this way because you are mine and they don't know the one who sent me. Now let's also read. So Jesus is telling his disciples, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. Who are they? The evil ones who work in the world system and are used by the enemy, the devil, and his demons to do his dirty work. Now let's also turn to John 16:33. John Because Jesus has taken away the power this world has to defeat us and has conquered it for us. Hug this thing. It's because of this. Amen? Now, the word persecution in Hebrew and Greek both emphasize the concept is to pursue, press on, to oppress, harass, to bring judgment or punishment, to bring affliction. It implies the hunt, listen to this, it implies the hunt to bring someone down like an animal, trying to suppress or punish their convictions. What does that remind you of? It reminds me of 1 Peter 5:8, where it says, watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So let's look up 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 to the end. Peter says this, be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy the devil roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of troubles you endure. And then after your brief suffering, brief is short, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up. And he has all the power needed to do this. Forever, amen. Forever, amen. The number one challenge we will encounter, it's not sickness, disease, lack, and all kinds of attacks. It's the persecution. The devil is after the word that has been planted in us. He wants to get us off guard. He wants to harm us in some way. In 2 Peter 3:12, let's look at that. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures today. 2 Timothy. Did I say 2 Peter?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 3:12. Thank you for correcting me. You're on the ball. 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, for all who chose to live godly as worshipers of Jesus, that's us, right? The anointed one will also experience persecution. You hear that? We're going to experience it. But the evil men and the sorcerers will progress from bad to worse, deceived and deceiving as they lead people further from the truth. Yet you must continue to advance in strength with the truth wrapped around your heart, being assured by God that he's the one who has truly taught you all these things. So all that live for God in Christ shall suffer persecution. Now let's turn to 1 Peter 4:16. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are greatly blessed, because the Spirit of glory and power, who is the Spirit of God, rests upon you. How do you feel now? Okay, let's look at James 1:2. He's strengthening us.
Amen.
And he's given us a lot of strength. Okay, James 1:2. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Yeah, we're doing it now. Okay? Where am I? For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being. What's every part mean? Every part. Every part. From the top of your head to so many feet. Every part of your being. Until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Glory to God. So we should be stirring up the power from the Holy Spirit in us. And at this point, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. And he will give us the answer that we need. And of course, God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. And that's in James 1:21. Now, as we continue to read in James 1:5, it tells us to ask for wisdom, doesn't it?
Yes.
So if we continue in 1:5, James, it says, and if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. Just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive it. My personal testimony that I have learned, and it's not that long ago, I would say maybe 7 years, I make it a habit to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom in everything. Everything. Because when I took on this opportunity up here, I needed God in every which way, okay? All right? So I know that I could rely on him for anything. All I have to do is ask. If I don't know something, I'll pray about it. And I pray a lot in tongues, in the Spirit. Okay? I pray more in tongues, I think, than English. And as I get my answer, and it doesn't come instantly, it could be the next day, a couple days, but I will get that answer. Okay? Now, the enemy attacks because he's just out and out evil. He defaults us to persecution to stop us from advancing. The Bible tells us to fight the fight of faith. We are always going to be in a fight. So just resign to that fact. I know everybody's tired of it. But you got the power to do it, or else Satan will tell us that. Until Jesus comes back or we go home into eternity. So let's change our mindsets. Change our thinking about these persecutions. Begin to say to our unseen enemy with joy, okay, Satan, I have already had the victory because of Jesus. And I don't fear you.
Amen.
I don't fear this Satan. I don't fear this lack. I have the authority over everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's look up Mark 4:35. Mark 4:35. Suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious tempest arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was all but swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. So they shook him awake, saying, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to die?" Fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush, calm down." All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. The Lord showed me something in this. He said, when he said to his disciples, "Let's get in the boat and go to the other side," the Lord showed me that the boat symbolizes like life's journeys. And Jesus is always with us. He was resting in that boat, knowing everything is going to be fine through the storm. Even through all the storms we face in life, he is with us all the time. There is nothing to fear or to be concerned about. We will get to the other side of trouble. Jesus questioned the guys in the boat. He said, "Why are you waking me up through the storm? Why are you in fear? I told you that we're going to go to the other side." He rebuked the storm anyway because they thought they were going to die. So he wanted to give them peace. Okay. So this is what the Holy Spirit also told me. He said, miracles don't make us stronger. Miracles do not make us stronger. Trials and sufferings and testings make us stronger. Because we learn how to fight in the spirit.
Yes.
The Israelites, remember the Israelites during Moses' day, saw the most awesome miracles. They saw the Red Sea part. He gave them manna from heaven every day, water from a rock, all the plagues that didn't touch them. But all they did was what? Complain and cry out to Moses. God kind of babied them, but they were so ungrateful. They didn't learn anything. Satan indirectly uses the natural results of the fall of man. He uses the world system that he is the God of to cause sickness, disease, and even cause us to die. He may not be doing it in a firing line, lining us all up, or cutting our heads off, but he uses bacteria, viruses, stuff they're spraying in the air, pandemics like COVID, malnutrition, because we know that the nutrition of the food has gone downhill. They're making food in laboratories. Satan also causes accidents, murders, all kinds of violent acts against humanity, including wars. He kills, he steals, and he destroys. The Bible also tells us that the lack of knowledge is the destruction of my people. The Lord said to me, and I received a couple of confirmations about this, that God is going to expose chemical warfare in this country. The first thing he's going to expose is genetically modified foods.
Yes, Lord.
Artificially made in laboratories. This is why I told you, this is chemicals causes all kinds of cancers, illnesses, sicknesses, allergies, dementia, diabetes, mental illnesses, autism, weight gain, infertility in both sexes, heart disease, problems, and I can go on and on. Now, here are some of the products that they're in. Plastics, lining and canned goods, plastic wrap, all kinds of plastic containers, microwavable popcorn bags, fertilizers on food, farms, animals eating the feed contaminated by the fertilizers, drinking water, fast foods, processed foods, non-stick pans, clothing which gets into your skin as they're rubbing, okay, your clothes. Toothpaste, dental floss, toilet paper, feminine hygiene products, furniture, and we're always sitting on our furniture. Cosmetics, cleaning products, and this got me too, baby toys that they put in their mouth for teething. And there's so much more, I can go on and on. And pharmaceuticals, of course. Now, just about everything has these harmful chemicals, but there are pure organic things and foods in the stores that we could buy. We have to just read the label. We got to get wisdom and knowledge and research it for ourselves. Now, we have a tendency when we have lack of finances, we go out and we buy these cheaper foods and things that aren't good for our bodies. If you like more information about this, I looked up online, I was telling somebody what I was preaching on, and they said, you got to listen to this lady. And she got this from the Holy Spirit. Her name is Kim Robertson, and she's on Elijah Streams, and she goes into all the different chemicals. Okay? So, yes. Okay, her name is Kim Robertson, and she's on the live streams, and it was around September 4th, I think. This was just recently posted. And this all came from the Holy Spirit, because the enemy wants to kill us, okay? Now, Christians, we need a spirit of mighty power. We need a backbone to stand. Please pray over your meals, your food. Pray over yourselves, your family, and your brothers and sisters in Christ. No one is exempt from persecution. The enemy's spiritual attack with purpose is to cause us to lose faith, hope, to destroy ministries and life, abort promises of God, to oppress us, and bring our destinies to a stop. These are some of the signs of you being persecuted. So let's ask these questions to ourselves. Are you losing passion for God? Are you tired and weak in your body? Are you in confusion? Do you have a sickness or lack? Have you lost peace of mind and joy? Do you have feelings of guilt, condemnation, or feel unloved? Do you feel like you just want to give up and quit? These are all signs of you being persecuted by the enemy. Yep-er. You're not doing anything wrong. No judgment. It is time to get up and fight and declare and say, no, Satan.
That's right.
Speak the word. Pray that righteous people in the government positions will rise up and put an end to these chemicals and ban them in everything. And remember, whatever we want to see change in our life, anything, it takes time. Don't give up, because you will reap and you will get your breakthrough. Amen. So Father, I thank you and praise you, that you gave me Holy Spirit, this word, to make us aware of what is going on and how you are going to start to expose the enemy and the areas in this chemical warfare. Lord, we just thank you that you want to raise up your body to come against these attacks of the enemy. Lord, that you would cleanse the air, you would cleanse the ground, you would cleanse the water, you would cleanse our food, that all these things that have been put in our grounds, even in our backyards, Lord, when we grow a garden, Lord, we just pray over them that they would be pure and organic and they won't hurt us. And every time we eat something, remind us, Lord, that we should pray over it. So, Lord, we just thank you that you want your people healed, whole, and delivered. That's why you died on the cross, but Satan wants to destroy your testimony of how you saved us, delivered us, and healed us. So, Lord, I just ask right now that you would reverse everything that the enemy has done to our bodies, even if we don't know it's there. From the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, every part of our being is completely healed and whole. Nothing broken, nothing lacking. Complete. We are complete in Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for giving us a supernatural wisdom.